give up their time for thee. And we just pray that you would just use me to be a blessing, to open up hearts and eyes and understanding to the things you'd have each one of us to see. We pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. All right, turn your Bibles to the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians, I told you last week when I was studying through Philippians that I thought I was going to preach something else. I'm preaching that message this morning, and it has to do with your mind. Your mind. And if you look through the book of Philippians, which we'll go through chapter 1, 2, 3, and 4, talking about the mind. You know, what is the mind? It's the heart or the seat of your emotions. It's as a transitive verb, it's to attend to or obey. Like if you say your children, you need to mind your mother. You need to mind your father. You need to mind your sister if you have an older sister, you know, one that's able to be directing the others. But it's a verb also. It talks about putting in mind, means to remind, to attend. It talks about intention or a purpose or a design. So when you're looking at the mind, it's pretty far-reaching. But let's go on and look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 15. Let us therefore as many as be perfect. Now we studied perfection the other day. As many as be perfect doesn't mean sinlessly perfect. It could be meaning complete. It talks about being positionally perfect. So let us therefore as many as be perfect be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. So in that verse, and why it jumped out to me, it says that be thus minded. And then it said, if you're otherwise minded, God will reveal it to you. So that's why we need to study it out. I mean, wouldn't you want to know? If God wants you to be thus minded, we ought to study it out and find out what kind of mind God wants us to have. And if you're otherwise minded, we need to find out what God wants to correct in our lives. One of the things is God wants us to be more like Him and have the mind of Christ. Now think about that. Creator of the universe. When God said, let there be light, it was Jesus Christ, the Son, that did that. He wants us to be like-minded with Christ. So that's why we need to study this out and see what the Bible says about it. Verse 16, if you'll look at that. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Remember that verb transitive that I mentioned, to attend or to obey. So let us mind the same thing. One of the things that we talk about a lot is unity. We need to be unified around the truth. We need to have unity in the faith. And to do that, we have to all have the mind of Christ. We have to develop along. We were looking at grace this morning, living grace. What's the Bible says? It says grow in grace, mature. We need to become more and more mature in our walk with Christ. If you are not maturing, if you are not growing and you are stagnant, you're out of the will of God. God doesn't want you the same today as you were yesterday. Remember that verse on Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever? Well, not you. Why? Well, He's God. He doesn't want you the same yesterday, today, and forever. He wants you to continue to mind the right things. He wants you to continue to grow in grace and have the mind of Christ. So let's run several references. I want you to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, let's look at some things about mind. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. Let's go back to verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You see, your natural man in a lost state does not understand the spiritual things of God. Your new man, when you get saved, you have an old man, new man. Before you get saved, you just got the old man. You know, you're just natural man. But once you get saved, you have a new man that moves in. Spirit of God moves in. Holy Ghost is indwelling in all believers. If you have not Spirit of Christ, you're none of His. He says things are spiritually discerned. Now, you have limitations on that spiritual discernment based on your relationship with Jesus Christ. If you don't have that relationship, you live in a carnal state and you will not have that understanding. Now, once you get saved and you continue to mature and grow in grace, then that spiritual discernment becomes ever more real. I want to know what God wants me to know. I want to be what God wants me to be. I want to live the way God wants me to live. Now, think about that. That's just three simple things I mentioned there. But if that's not your goal, you will never attain to those things. If that's not your motive, you will never be impressed by God enough on your heart. He impresses your heart. You will never be impressed in your heart to do the right things. I want to grow up. Well, somewhat. I want to grow in grace. So look at, continuing on here, look at verse 15. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. I got to park there a minute. You know the verse, judge not that you be not judged. Every lost person knows that verse. Every reporter probably knows that verse. You know, the Bible says, judge all things, hold fast that which is true. You're supposed to judge everything. I'm supposed to judge everything. Now, you say, well, when you meet somebody, do you judge them? Sure I do. And you do too. First impressions. Oh, well, I don't let first impressions impress me. Who are you? It's impossible not to judge. Now, judge righteous judgment. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. Okay? You want to help somebody out, make sure you're not hypocritical. Every time you see judging in the Bible, it has to do with hypocrisy over and over again. You read, he says in there, he says, judge not that you be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. Well, that's okay with me, so long as I'm living right. It's okay with you so long as you're living right. But listen, if you judge unrighteously, you will be judged in that fashion. That's why we have to be so careful. That's why first impressions, yes, they can make a difference, but don't let it be the lasting impression. You've got to look at things and say, you know what, I got to be fair to people. I've got to try to understand people. And listen, you know, you get around people and they talk and somebody has their feelings hurt. Guess what? You don't say, well, I just need to grow up. Oh, you've never had your feelings hurt. You know, in other words, well, they just need to be more mature. They just need to be more like me. No, that's not the way they need to be. And by the way, when you hurt somebody, you have a responsibility to do something about it. You do. You say, well, they don't need to be offended. The Bible says that if you love the law, nothing will offend you. And yet people get offended. And we are sometimes offensive. One of the things I try not to do is to be personally offensive. Now, does the Word of God offend people? Sure it does. And guess what? That's okay. My presentation of the Word of God should not be, in and of itself, offensive. I know how to offend people. I know how to say things that are hurtful or rough or crude or just downright mean. And yet, I have a responsibility not to do those things. Taper those things. If I go up to somebody and I want to talk to them about Jesus Christ, I don't look at them, you know, and go, well, guess what? You're going to hell. Boy, that really opened up the door. Sure, broke the ice, yeah. Broke the ice, they fell through and swam away. So let's go back. Look what it says. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Imagine that. Remember who we're talking about here. Look at the context. He is judged of no man. He which is spiritual is judged of no man. Why? Because he's spiritual. Listen, the more spiritual you become, judgment by others is water off a duck's back. You look at it and you go, well, they're judging me unrighteously. So what? You just pray that God takes care of the thing. They're not doing right. They're not saying right. They're not behaving right. Listen, ye which are spiritual judgeth all things, and you will not be judged. Verse 16 is where I want you to go. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. You know what the mind of Christ does? It gives you a new way of thinking. I don't want to think like I used to think. I don't want to be controlled by emotions. I don't want to be controlled by thoughts that are not according to the mind of Christ. I want to be controlled more and more by the mind of Christ. How do you do that? Word of God. You saturate yourself with the Bible. That's why, you know, listen, even though I have taught the Bible, I've written on the Bible, I've studied the Bible, I never reach a point where I don't need to keep studying. Keep reading, keep learning, keep growing. I am not the same as I was yesterday. I don't know how bad I was yesterday, but whatever it was, I'm not like I was yesterday. I'm not what I was a year ago. I'm not what I was 3 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. Why? Because I want to grow in grace. And as I grow in grace, it'll make a big difference. Now, the book of Philippians, the mind of Christ. He says in those verses again, let's go back to verse 15 and then we're going to go to chapter 1. I'm sorry, yeah, verse 15 in chapter 3. Then we're going to start in chapter 1. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto ye have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Now look at chapter 1, let's run each one of these chapters concerning this mind that we're supposed to have. Look at chapter 1, verse 27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Now let me explain something about conversation. You say, well, the Bible's old and archaic. No, it's not. The Bible just has to be studied. You don't change the Bible. You don't say, well, conversation, when we say that, we just think about what we say. But conversation in the Bible is your whole lifestyle. It can be conversation, what you speak, but it can be much more far-reaching, and in this case it is. Let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Your conversation, your lifestyle, your very manner of life needs to be according to the gospel of Christ. That's the premise we're looking at. Verse 27, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs. So you see how conversation's defined there? What's it got to do with? Your affairs. That's how great the Bible is. So you don't just change the Bible. You let the Bible say what the Bible says, and then the Bible, within the context, generally defines any word that you need the definition of. Well, I've written extensively on these things, on studying words in the Bible. And if you'll study those words within the context, God will generally define the word. So what's conversation have to deal with? Your affairs. Your lifestyle, not just your words. So it says, hear of your affairs that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. You know what we need here? We need one spirit, one mind, striving together. Boy, that sounds like, you know, we're working together. Yes, we are. We're striving together for the faith of the gospel. I want to continue striving together, striving with you together with one mind, one spirit. How do you do that? Make sure your conversation's right. make sure the affairs of this life are focused on God. Make sure that whatever God wants you to do, that's what you focus on. And what does it say? It says, one spirit, one mind striving together. Can you imagine a church where you're all pretty much like-minded? Say, that sounds like a cult. Yeah, sometimes cults can be like that. But that doesn't mean we're a cult. If I tell you ought to love each other more than you love yourself, and everybody has that same mindset, is that a good thing? Sure. Put Christ first, and everybody's like-minded. Husbands, love your wives. And the husbands love their wives. And we're all like-minded. And then the wives see that she does, she reverences her husband. That's what the Bible says. You say, oh man, you don't want to preach that message in today's society. Let me tell you something. If the husband would love his wife the way he's commanded to love his wife, even as Christ also gave himself for the church, man, I'll tell you what, that wife will look at him and say, man, you've hung the moon, baby. She will reverence him in a respectful reverence that is what is needed to have the right type of relationship in every home. You know how we've gotten away from that relationship? We've let the world determine. I saw the other day, it was a joke, I guess, I hope. And yeah, it was a joke now that I think of it, because I now remember what it was. And, you know, the people from California, nothing against California, got a lot of good friends out there. But they have a tendency to be a little left-wing. Especially Pelosi and people like her. But the joke was they were in Texas. So there they were in Texas and they had a cookout. So here comes this couple from California and they said, well, you know, we're vegan. I mean, at a Texas cookout. You know that's starting off bad. Well, hi, she says, I'm Jerry. She, her. And he says, I'm Frank, he, him. And you're just looking at that going, is that really the way that society is traversing right now? I don't know. I'll just tell you this. I'm he, him. I'm not she, her. Okay? And I never will be she, her. And by the way, you never can be as a man be a she, her. You will always be a he, him. And you ladies, you will always be a she, her, and you can never be a he, him. And guess what? God made us different. Glory to God. Be that way. You know what I want in this church? I want all of it to be one mind on that one concept I just gave you right there. Something wrong with that? Certainly not. Oh, but you're phobic. I don't even know what phobic, pronoun phobic or something. You're pronoun phobic. Oh, no, I'm not. I just believe that Adam and Eve were male and female and never the twain God mixed. That's just how it is. So, let this mind be in you. I want to have one mind in this church. I don't want us to be double-minded. You know, the Bible talks about that. What's a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. How's a double-minded man unstable? Because you're wishy-washy. I don't want you to think, well, you know, I used to believe this, now I got to change this, I got to change that in order to please somebody else. That's double-minded. Don't be double-minded. Let's all have one mind. You visitors, you know what we want you to have this morning? Have one mind with us. People came in from North Carolina and said, hey, we checked you out online. That's what we do now, he said. I said, yeah, I know that. He said, I think we believe alike. I said, praise God, glory, hallelujah. Listen, I can go anywhere in the world and walk into churches whom I've never met and be of one mind. How's that work? Because when the Bible's the standard and the Bible is the guide and the Bible is the authority, churches are able to be here or 1,000 miles away or 10,000 miles away and have the same standard. We don't need a hierarchy over us to tell us, this is what you need to believe. These are our doctrines. These are our... No. If you go, I'm not going to go through it, but you could go through 5 or 10 things. And I could say, do you believe that? And you say, amen. Do you believe that? Amen. And I could go to a church in the Philippines, thousands of miles away, and say, do you believe this? Yes. Do you believe this? Yes. Why? Because we're one mind. We're one mind that far away. Now look at chapter 2. Look at verse 1. Chapter 2, verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. You see how that is running all the way through the book of Philippians. See how that, it's the same thing. You know, fulfill ye my joy. You be like-minded. You know what my job is to help you to be like-minded. So long as we've got the Bible as our authority, you ought to be like-minded. When we get into a problem is whenever we get this list of standards. This is what I believe, and these are my standards, and this is what I'm telling you need to believe. Then you got a problem. Because I can't go and find anybody else with that same list, but I can find plenty of churches with the same Bible. So as long as you are following the Bible, we can be of one mind. Where we get in trouble is when we start thinking that our standards are more important than God's standards. I had a guy preach and he said, you know, I want to be more holy. What was it? Almost more holy than God. And I'm just like, how do you do that? How do you become more holy than everybody else? Listen, if you start thinking you're better than everybody else, you got a problem. Because you are going to judge unrighteously. You're going to look at people and you're going to say, you know, they're not dotting every I, crossing every T, underlining everywhere where I would underline, and they're not doing it my way, therefore they're not holy. Your Bible better be your standard. And if you hold this Bible as the standard and follow this Bible and allow the Bible to be your guide and your rule of thumb in life, you will not run into the problems that we have all across America and in many churches. Be of one mind. Be of one spirit. Look at chapter 2, verse 3. The Bible says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Lowliness of mind? Esteem others better than themselves? Boy, do you realize that if we would do that, if we would have a lowliness in our mindset, not looking and saying, hey, I'm here. Look at me. I'm it. I'm the most important thing. You'll get yourself in trouble. Lowliness of mind. Look at verse 4. The Bible says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That first word, let, that means it's a conscious choice. You have to choose. You cannot and you will not have the mind of Christ without a conscious choice made by yourself that you're going to allow that to happen. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now let's read some more of the scripture. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. He took upon himself the form of a servant. So what do we need to do? Have this mind in you that was also in Christ Jesus. What do we need to be? Servants of one another. Do you realize that servant leadership is a lost art today? Everybody wants to be the leader. Everybody wants to be the one that others follow. But you know how you're a leader? You got to make sure you're in the front and people can follow you. You can't be pushing everybody. It's like pushing a rope. You ever try to push a rope? Can't do it. You got to be in the front leading. That servant leadership is what we are missing today in society, in churches, work environments, even in the home. A servant leadership. Oh, the husband comes home, recliner. That's a little high. He might fall all the way back. I've done that. Oh, my daughter laughed and laughed and laughed. I think I was downstairs. We had a chair that was broken. I did the recliner. It went all the way back. She had a video. Of course, she has a video. It's up here. But you come in, you just pop that recliner up. Serve me. Now, I get it. You've been at work. I get it. She's been doing nothing but taking care of the laundry and the children and the maybe the bills. I mean, I don't know what else, but there's a lot of things women that stay home do. I'll tell you what, my wife is an optician by trade. We adopted our two children. She quit work. They said, she'd worked there umpteen years. They said, need to be at home. And we adopted them, so it wasn't like, you know, oh, we're giving a two-week notice, we're expecting a baby. They said, listen, we understand. And they were understanding, and I never wanted her to actually go back to work if we didn't have to do it. I even took a job where I took a cut in pay down to $15,000 a year to teach in the school, minus $5,000 for health insurance, minus $3,000 for the kids' school. Let me do the math. That's $7,000 net. Fortunately, we bought a house with a toilet falling through the floor and the ceiling falling in. We worked on it, and in 4 years, we paid it off. Didn't pay a whole lot for it. It's easy to pay off a house in 4 years if you only paid $37,000 for it. But the next month, we adopted the children. We never had any money since. We adopted the children. She quit work. We now had married insurance with children instead of single and single. Boy, it was rough. It was a whole different world we were living in. But we weren't spending any, everything. I played a game with the amortization schedule, 15-year amortization schedule, and I would go in there and I'd mark it up on how, you know, we paid a whole year and paid another whole year. And we just did that, and it was just a game. We got it done because I was a big believer in being debt-free. But we need to have the mind of Christ. Whatever that may be. Now look, I don't tell people they all gotta be debt free. You gotta that's my standard. No. You need to make sure you're doing what God leads you to do. Look at verse 8. Remember this mind of Christ. Verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. Boy, you know what he did? He humbled himself. He became a servant. Here he is, God manifest in the flesh, and yet he allowed man to put him on a cross. He allowed man to crucify him. He allowed man to spit on him and pluck out his beard and do all those things and say some of the worst things to him. Oh, if you're the Son of God, come off the cross. We'll worship you. They wanted him to give up on what his purpose in coming to this earth was. Now look at chapter 3. We read verses 15 and 16. And let's look at it again. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Do you know that God will reveal to you, what he wants you to be? He doesn't reveal it to me. He doesn't come up to me and say, I'm going to show you what that person needs to be. He doesn't do it. Now, I can have some insights. I can help. And I would assist in any way that I can somebody that needs something like that. But I've got to tell you, it says, if you are otherwise minded, instead of thus minded, he will reveal it unto you. You know what our problem is? Our revelator isn't working. I just made that up. In other words, he's revealing it unto you, but you're not seeing it. It's hard to be honest with yourself. When you look in the mirror, you know what you see? Unreality, that's what I was going to say. An unrealistic perception of the person you're looking at. Now, how do you change that? You become more like-minded with Christ. In other words, when you look in the mirror, I don't mean you need to look in the mirror and go, boy, what a dirty, rotten dog that is. That's not healthy either. You don't need to be looking at yourself and thinking that you're unworthy. You don't need to be looking at yourself and thinking that you are that God made a mistake, that God put you on this earth and you have no value. You don't have to look at yourself that way. And it is unhealthy if you do. And those that would encourage it are wicked as hell itself. You and I need to look in the mirror and be honest, though, and say, you know what I see? I see faults. You know what I see? I don't see the mind of Christ in that person all the time. I see areas where I should improve and I should grow and I should work on. And if you look at yourself that way, you know what you'll do? You won't be otherwise minded. You'll be thus minded. And that's what we need. Look at verse 16 again. It says, nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Let us mind, have attention toward the same thing. We need to be attentive people. When people walk in those doors, one of the greatest things I hear from visitors is how friendly you are. And I make comment of that all the time. Stay that way. The only way to do that is to be thus minded. Look at verse 19. Verse 17. Brethren, be ye followers together of me. Mark them which walk as ye have us for an ensample. There's a difference between example and ensample. We'll go over sometime. For many walk of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping. He's weeping that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. I don't want to mind earthly things. I don't want to be so caught up in this world that my focus is on just earthly things. You know, we don't fight against flesh and blood, the Bible says. But we have a spiritual battle that's going on all around us all the time. I have been saved 42 years. I was on Okaloosa Island the other day, and I remember when I lived there. I lived in two different places on Okaloosa Island, and I drove by this convenience store, and a thought came back to mind on something there from 42 years ago, and I just remember that. I was like, what a shame! What, and I don't mean I was liquor. I just something. And so I looked at that and I said, wow, what a shame. And I thought, the thought came back to mind how the devil will sometimes try to direct you. I don't mean the other day, but I mean 42 years ago. I didn't know much. I just gotten saved. I don't know a whole lot now sometimes. But I know this. I remember back that I was directed. And he intervened in something. And then what did I do? I went ahead and let it happen. I went ahead and allowed myself to walk according to carnality or according to the flesh. And it was just driving by there, and I was like, wow, what a crazy thing. But that's how he works. 42 years later, you know what? I understand. And he'll do that to you too. You get out of focus and you don't have the mind of Christ, the devil will come in there and convince you that whatever you do is okay, however you live is acceptable. That's where the world is. Alternative lifestyles. That's what they call it. What did they call it before? Your sexual preference. You know what it's called now? Sexual orientation. Words matter. Preference, what you prefer. Orientation, it's God's fault. Preference is what it was because you had a choice and it was a recognized choice. And even if you chose the wrong thing, you had a choice. Orientation, God made me this way. It's all about words. Pro-life, pro-choice, anti-abortion, pro-choice. And that's what they do. It's all about words. And whoever controls the terminology, which is generally the media, controls the mindset. What we've got to make sure we do is don't get sucked up into those things where the world's controlling what we think. Last one. Or no, I'm sorry. Look at chapter 4 now. We've got two verses in chapter 4 I want to look at. Look at verse 2. I beseech Eutychus, and I beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. You know what I beseech you to do? Be of the same mind in the Lord. What does that mean? That means whatever that mind of Christ is, whatever that thought pattern needs to be, that's what we need to have in this church. If we're following God, follow along. We get the wrong mindset, then yeah, you know what you cannot have if you don't have the mind of Christ? You cannot have unity. You know what a marriage needs? Mind of Christ. Because you have to have the unity. You know what the church needs? The mind of Christ in order to have the unity. You know, with a job, an employer, an employee, and a whole organization, it's the same thing. Every principle applies to every place, just in different degrees. We need to have that. Now, one more verse. Look at verse 7. The Bible says, "And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Look at the previous verse, verse 6. "But be careful for nothing." Don't be full of care about anything. Don't worry. "But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." You know why the world is on pills and fretting everything? It's because they don't have that peace that God gives through prayer. God answers every prayer, everyone, with peace. You say, "Well, I want to do this," and you pray about it, and God says no. Did He answer the prayer? Yeah, He answered it no. How do you know He said no? Because you have peace about the answer. "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." That peace will make all the difference in the world. Do you have that peace? Do you have that mind of Christ? Has He worked in your life enough for you to have the unity and one mind, one spirit that you're supposed to have with fellow believers? If not, you need to work on that. You need to get that right. Let's all stand together. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank You for Your many blessings. We just ask that You guide, lead, and direct during the invitation time. Lord, we need to, again, be in touch with Thee. We need to hear Thee and hear from Thee. In Jesus' name. As the pianist plays, if God's spoken to you in some way, the altar, just a set of steps, is open.